Take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. A few weeks ago, and we've had so many different things and we've gotten away from this, but a few weeks ago on Sunday night, I started preaching messages on people who bring people to Christ, looking at Bible characters, people who bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The most worthwhile work that we can do in this world is to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got one very bleak amen on that statement. Either you don't believe it, or we've gotten so used to it that it just sort of rolls off of our backs like water on a duck's back. But at any rate, I'll say it again. The most worthwhile work in the world is bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it all started out in the early days with John the Baptist. John the Baptist won people to Christ, and then they went out and won others to Christ, or they reached them for Christ. We get, I suppose, used to and tired of the word soul winning in some ways. We've heard it. So call it what you want. We need to reach people for Christ. And if our church or we as individuals are not doing that somewhere along the way, and there are a lot of ways to arrive at that, then we probably are failing at least in one area, in one of the major areas of the Christian life. John 1, let's look at verse 35. The Bible says, John 1, 35, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John the Baptist was somebody who was bringing people to Christ. And so they heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now in these verses we discover, as I said, that John the Baptist, in verses 35 through 37, told others about Jesus Christ. And we have Andrew and probably John who followed him because of that. And Andrew then went and found Peter. He talked to Peter about the Lord Jesus Christ and brought him to a confrontation with Jesus. And then Jesus found Philip. Verse 43 reminds us of that. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. and saith unto him, follow me. Jesus too was one who reached people for himself. But then Philip told Nathanael, as verse 45 tells us. So each one of these was led to Christ, you might say, or found Christ because somebody else had enough interest in them to tell them who Jesus really was. And as I said earlier, I don't know of anything that is more worthwhile, more important and worthwhile in the work of God than to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you tonight, have you ever done it? Have you ever done it? Have you ever brought somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? I realize there are different ways to do it, but we should be forever after bringing people to Christ in whatever ways we can, in every open door that we have to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then whenever they get saved, just think of what happens to them. Their sins are under the blood. They begin to have fellowship with the Lord. They are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. They can't ever lose their salvation. They are transformed, and then they are thrust out into the everlasting work of Almighty God to serve the Lord. What a wonderful and exciting thing it is when somebody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter 5, turn there just a second if you will. You can keep your place there in John. But in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. James 5, 19, the Bible says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, eternal separation from God, and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's an endorsement for us to bring people to the Lord. Daniel reminds us in the Bible in Daniel 12:3. He says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. In other words, those who bring people to Christ are luminiferous people that God recognizes, according to Daniel 12:3. The great Charles Haddon Spurgeon made this statement. He said, even if I were utterly selfish and had no care for anything but my own happiness, I would choose, if I might, to be a soul winner. That's a pretty strong statement for somebody to make. Brainerd, that great man of God, said, I cared not where or how I lived or what hardships I went through, so long as I could but win souls for Christ. Amen. It's an important thing that we reach others for Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he left heaven. It was important enough for him to leave heaven to bring us to a saving knowledge of himself. Now let me say this too, that a new convert can tell others and bring others to Christ. Somebody who just got saved can immediately tell others and bring others to Christ. That's exactly what happened in these verses of Scripture. Look at verses 44 and 46 again. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, back in John chapter 1. Philip findeth Nathanael. Philip had just been led, we might say, to Christ by Christ. In verse 43, and now he immediately turns around, the new convert, Philip, of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him. We found the Messiah. We found the one that we've been looking for, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he didn't lose any time telling others about the saving knowledge of Christ. There's no reason in the world for a new convert to lose any time in telling others about Christ. Why, it's a great discovery you have made. You have been born again. And why would you not want to share that great discovery with somebody around you when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I believe that Philip had a heart of love, and that heart of love that he got from his salvation experience caused him to move out and to start right then sharing his experience and sharing the Lord with other people. Most important medium, I think, in reaching others for Christ, probably the most important way to do it is your personal testimony. Now, preaching has something to do with that. Preaching, people are saved as a result of preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching. There's a big difference. But by the foolishness of preaching to save them who believe. If there's an unsaved person here tonight, I can tell you that Jesus died for your sins. You need to be born again. If you'll trust Him and believe in His death, burial, and resurrection, I can tell you tonight you can be saved. Before you leave the building, you can walk down here, accept Christ as your Savior. Amen. Isn't it great that that can happen just like that? Through the preaching of the Word of God. And that's what the apostles did and the early missionaries. And that's what we try to do in this church. And that is the thing that is often the first contact that people have is the preaching. But another way of contact is for you to contact those people with your testimony and invite them to church so I can preach to them. But better yet, go ahead and tell them how to be saved. Tell them what you've experienced. Let them know that Jesus saves, and many times it is the soul winner's testimony that is the contact point to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What about the kind of testimony? Well, look at this testimony here. What kind of testimony was it? Well, as I look at it, it was very informal, wasn't it? It wasn't one that you had to get all uptight about. He was so excited about the Lord, so excited about Jesus, that in a very informal way, he just began to talk to him simply heart to heart because of what he had experienced. Nothing detailed about all of that. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nothing complicated about that. He just poured his heart out to him, and he did it in a very, very informal way. It was also an informed way because he had some knowledge of the law and the scriptures and that type thing. And I believe those who get saved probably have, generally speaking, some knowledge enough to say, we know that Jesus saves. We know the Bible teaches that, and that is the only way to heaven. And if that's all you know, you've been informed a whole lot. To know that salvation is by grace and grace alone is great information and great to share with other people. I think that his testimony was infectious. You can see that he was very excited about it. I can just see him as he was excited. Philip findeth Nathanael. I can see him running up to him and saying, hey, Nathanael, come here. I got to tell you something. It's happened to me. I've got to tell you, we found the Messiah. We found Jesus. I can just see his exuberance and his thrill and his happiness and his desire all wrapped up in telling him about it. All of that passion. What could we do as a church if all of us had that kind of passion to tell others about Jesus Christ? And then the most effective way is to meet the objections is not to argue with those people. I believe Nathanael was at least an honest doubter when in verse 46 he said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? I think he was saying, I'm not sure about this. I'm not really sure about what you're telling me, but I believe that even though he was an honest doubter, you look at Philip and he didn't argue with him and fight with him and put him down. He just stuck to his guns and told him about Christ. And he said to him, all right, you may wonder if anything good can come out of Nazareth. Like some people can say, well, I just don't know if Jesus can save or whatever. He said, I'll tell you what you do. Just come and see. Just come and see if who he says he is not who he is. And so he invited him to come and see. That's a good thing to do. Just say, well, you just come and try it. You come to Christ. You trust him as your Savior. You put him first. You admit you're a sinner and ask him to come into your heart, and you watch what happens from that point on when you really mean business. You've got to mean business. You cannot be, you see some people chewing gum and laughing and all of that when they're supposed to be praying and getting saved. You wonder a little bit about that. It must be sincere. It's got to come from the heart, but if it does, it'll work. And so he said, come and see. The blind man said, well, I don't know. You can say what you want to about him. You can say that he is of the devil all you want, but I can tell you this. There's one thing I can tell you for sure. Once I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Now I see. And he had that testimony. So he was just saying, come and see for yourself. Probably one of the most effective ways to meet objections is just stay with it and invite them. And then there's some comforting encouragement here that I think would give us encouragement as people who want to bring people to Christ. And to understand what verse 47, 48 is telling us here. You see, when we're trying to bring people to Christ, we're never doing it alone, are we? God, how many of you believe tonight that God is in this business with us?
Amen.
That He is for souls being saved. That He is working on the other end as we work on this end. That God is doing that. Verses 47, 48, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. What does that tell us? Jesus knew who he was. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, before Philip ever said anything to you, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You see, Jesus knows. And there are people out there he's working on. And the Holy Spirit is dealing with. And people that he knows will come to Christ and come to himself if we'll just go to them and tell them about him. The Lord knew. And I believe the Lord wanted Nathanael to be saved, don't you? I believe he did. And so he spoke to him as he did. What about us? Well, turn to Mark just a second, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, if you will. And look at verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, beginning in verse 19, Mark chapter 16, the last chapter there. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Watch this wording. The Lord working with them. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father tonight, who ascended and went there, was working with them, and he's working with us tonight and confirming the word with signs following. So be it. Amen. He's working with us in this matter of trying to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to reach people for Christ. How comforting is that for us to know that we're not out there flying by ourselves. Jesus is with us.
Amen.
God's working with us. The Holy Spirit is working with us. And I believe this was a thrilling moment when it happened. Verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel.
Amen.
I believe that was a very exciting moment. Not only for Nathanael, but for Philip, who had told him. And Philip, no doubt standing by, when he heard him say that, I think Philip said, yes. Praise the Lord. He got it. Amen. He got saved. I believe he was thrilled and happy about it. Let me point this out to you, and I think it's important to remember as we're trying to reach lost people. You may not get to see the immediate results. And don't ever forget that, or you'll get discouraged to the point you'll quit and you won't keep doing it. You must remember that you may not always win them to Christ right there. You may not always see the immediate results that Philip saw with Nathanael. But God uses you. And sometimes we are just a link in the chain that God uses to arrest them and bring them to himself. and all of the tracts you give out, and all of the testimonies you give, and all the doors you knock on, and all the people you tell about Christ on the airplane or down at the school or wherever it may be. And sometimes you feel like it's just doing no good. But don't you ever doubt, God says His word does not return unto Him void. And you may not see the immediate results. I've had people come tell me later that they got saved because of my visit and another person's visit in their apartment or home, and their relatives got them to go to church with them. They went to that church, got baptized, and for over a year or two, didn't even know that they had gotten saved. And one day they came to something special and said, "Oh, by the way, I want to tell you, I got saved right after you visited me on that Saturday, and I read what you said, and I didn't come to your church. I went to another church, got saved, got baptized, and I've been serving the Lord ever since." Amen. It happens. That doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. I'm just simply saying, Christian, be encouraged that when we're trying to bring people to Christ, we may not see always the very immediate results, but I believe God is still using us, and I believe God gives us some folks that He wouldn't have given us if we hadn't gone after the ones we didn't get. I believe that with all of my heart. I've seen it many times where it seemed like that as we went out after those people, maybe we didn't get them right then, but that next Sunday, God would bring somebody down the aisle. Somebody would get saved. I like to see us bring them ourselves, but I believe God is in it with us. There's great incentive in trying to bring people to Christ. Number one, they are saved. They come to Christ, they are saved. But look at verses 50 and 51. God is saying, not only is Nathanael being saved, but I have a great, great future for Nathanael. I'm going to do something with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the tree, believest thou, the fig tree, thou shalt see greater things than these." And I know that's a broader context, but I think it applies to him too. And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." He says, "I have something in store for you, Nathanael, that is wonderful." And God does for those that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember, of course, that Nathanael became one of the 12 apostles. And we don't know that Philip knew that would happen, but he led him to a saving knowledge of Christ, and he was used greatly as one of the 12. You know, you may win. You never know. You may win a J. Frank Norris to the Lord. You may win a Hudson Taylor to the Lord. The next person you win to the Lord may be a Livingston. We don't know. It may be a D.L. Moody. It may be a Clarence Sexton. It may even be a Raymond Barber. It may be someone else out there. You win them to Christ. You never know who you're winning to the Lord Jesus Christ. We just don't know. And it doesn't matter whether they ever become great or not. As long as they get saved, God has something wonderful for them. Amen. God has something wonderful for them. What matters the most to us, I believe, as God's people, is that we should be trying always to bring people to Christ. We may do that through giving them food. We may do that through being there at the funeral home when they're hurting. We may do that through a lot of different ways, but always somewhere in whatever the package is, we need to introduce them to Jesus Christ. It's the important thing. We should be trying to win one more soul. One more soul to Jesus. Let's stand, please. Father, we believe with all of our hearts that You, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, the blood Trinity, is involved with us in bringing people to the place where You want them, and that is to be born again, to be saved, to recognize Jesus Christ for who He is. If there's a person here tonight that doesn't already know that, I pray tonight they would see that and be saved. And Lord, it would be so exciting if somebody came and walked down the aisles tonight. But may you remind us of our great privilege and responsibility. May our hearts somehow be very much like that of Philip's. May we just, with excitement and humble sincerity, just go out and tell people who Jesus is. Help us to be that kind of church, made up, of course, of that kind of people. From the pulpit through the pew, may your will be done. Break our hearts somehow fresh tonight with the calling that we have and the holy imperative. Thank you for this biblical illustration of Philip getting excited, a new convert, and telling Nathanael about Christ and Nathanael being converted. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.